You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to what has truly been a very busy show tonight here on TPC this Saturday evening, October the 16th, mid-October. Fall is in the air. It's a great time of year, a great time to be alive. We had with us tonight from Cheyenne, Wyoming, Patrick Ryan, talking about the John Gruden NFL scandal. Can we call it that? Well, we did. That's what they're calling it anyway. Jack Ryan teamed up with Patrick Ryan, the Ryan boys, for a great first hour. Second hour, last hour, Jared Taylor was with us. A program mainstay, as is our closer tonight. Did we save the best for last? Dr. Kevin McDonald, the former professor of psychology at California State University at Long Beach and the author of so many books. And I don't mean he's just the author of some books. I mean, his books are epics, and they include Cultural Insurrections and his – well, they are – and his most recent, Individualism and the Western Liberal Tradition. I remember when that came out last year, and we had a great run talking about that. Well, he's back tonight once again. So, Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing just fine. Been traveling, and despite all that, I'm just feeling good.
Well, that's fantastic. You're up there. You're living the clean life up in
about
the Pacific.
The cold,
that's
you
right.
I worry about the COVID, you know, and I'm an older guy, you know, so I worry about it, but you know, I'm fine.
Well, I know it's been something. Well, actually, you know, we can go in any direction you want. What I wanted to do tonight with you actually was a little bit different. You've made so many appearances, and like most guests, when you come on, I bring you on for a specific reason, something you've been writing about or talking about or something that's in the news that I think you would be a particularly good fit for, which with you is really just about everything. But tonight, we had Jared on. We were talking about a poll, some very interesting findings, I think, of a poll that Amrin commissioned, which was very unique, that one of our organizations administer such a comprehensive poll and such a data-driven analysis. So we had him on to talk about that. But with you, I think what I would like to do with you tonight is just bring you on for a broad-based discussion. No single topic, but really anything in the news or current events or trends that you find interesting. Just what do you want to talk about? What are you tracking right now, Kevin?
Well, certainly, I was very aware of the Amrin poll. It's very good, encouraging. The kind of thing, white people are becoming more conscious of being white, having white interests. And you see so much anti-white hate these days. It's certainly understandable. And I hope that these trends continue. Of course, it's very late in the game. I don't know. I pay attention to, what's going on in the news. And, I'm sort of bored with conservative media. Sometimes interesting, but lately, you know, they were talking about the border crisis all the time, and it's just unbelievable what the Biden administration is doing. And I'm very concerned about the mandates, the vaccine mandates and all that. I mean, it really is an infringement on individual rights. They don't make any exceptions for even for people who have had the disease, which I may well have had. And, they're just impinging on individual freedom. But what gets you is when you look at people who are liberals and the left, they're very happy when someone dies of COVID who's not vaccinated. They are very happy. They love to denigrate people who are opposed to vaccination. People get fired from their jobs. They cheer that. But there may be a problem with all that because some of these industries, you have a lot of workers who are willing to go that route and to just give it up and crippling the healthcare industry, for example, transportation. Now we have a huge backlog at the ports because they can't get people to work. You know, if you go anywhere, And I'm in Idaho now. I mean, even here, you see signs everywhere trying to hire people. People just don't want to work anymore. And, so the ports are backed up, it's going to be it's very questionable whether people are going to get the Christmas presents and stuff like that. I don't know. There's a lot of things going on like that that really bug me, shall we say.
Well, yeah, I think it's interesting you bring this up because we're talking about things that have destabilized America, and I think the heavy-handed tactics of the left, the oppression, the censorship have radicalized the GOP base in many ways, especially since the Trump campaign and then Trump's subsequent defeat in the reelection, or apparent defeat anyway. There are things going on, and then you add this COVID narrative into the mix, which I don't know if there's much more we can say that hasn't been said about it already, but I think, Kevin, the thing that I find most interesting about it, and you're right, I mean, they're trying to pay McDonald's workers $20 an hour down here now because the fast food, there are fast food places that are just closed on random days, middays, because they don't have enough staff. It's just a really bizarre thing. Yeah. I mean, it's certainly unlike anything I've experienced in my life, but the reaction to COVID has been so wildly different, not just across the world, and we talked about this within the last couple of shows, where you have the Scandinavian countries that are basically getting away with all restrictions, whereas in Australia, they're almost shooting you if you don't have the vaccine. Yeah. And even here in America, certainly there's a great difference between the rural South and how they're handling it, and places like New York and California and Oregon and places like that. Yeah. So there is no uniformity. And by the way, doctors and nurses don't agree with this either. There is no standardized view on this. I have talked to doctors and nurses and many of them who are completely against the prevailing narrative. But of course, they're not going to be interviewed. And if they do speak out, they could lose their license. But it's not all as if everyone who's in the scientific and medical community are in the tank on this. They're not.
No, they're not. Definitely not. And, it's certainly worth noting. And I think that there could be big problems in the healthcare system and shortage of staff. And they're going down a very, very dangerous road here. But I think it's very dangerous for the Democrats. I mean, Biden is going to get crucified on this if the supply chain thing continues. If people hospitals have to slow down everything. I know they'll blame it on the unvaccinated, but it gets sort of wears pretty thin. I'm listening to NPR, National Public Radio, and they want to explain why people are not taking jobs, and they just throw out there that they're afraid of COVID. There's no data on that. It's like this ideology. Everything is all about people who are not vaccinated. That's the whole story. It's just really pathetic.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of winter we have now, nearly almost 2 years into this now. And again, you add this wild card on top to a very combustible political climate right now, and anything could happen. I think there is still a little bit too much relative comfort in America. People are still mostly able to bring home the bacon, and they're a little bit too comfortable. But this whole thing, the West is truly a powder keg, this multicultural West, and you add the COVID enhancement, and I don't know, Kevin, but again, it goes back to that poll we just mentioned before, and other polls like it. Things are trending our way quite silently and beneath the radar if it ever decides to manifest itself. Boy, get ready for something interesting. We'll be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back with the incomparable Dr. Kevin McDonald as our guest. I want to remind you that Kevin is the front man for two separate but overlapping publications that you need to know about. I'm sure most of our listeners already do. But for the sake of those who may not, let me remind you to check out the online webzine, theoccidentalobserver.net, theoccidentalobserver.net. That's Kevin's website. Kevin also serves, of course, as the editor of the Occidental Quarterly Print Journal, now in its 20th year of publication, against all odds and all manner of attack. And I have, for about the last decade, had the real pleasure of working behind the scenes on the distribution of TOQ. And so the fall issue is about to go out to subscribers, I think, within the next few days, certainly before the end of the month. So, Kevin, let's just pick up there. What are some of the stories you're tracking and your writers writing about for TOO and TOQ right now?
Well, actually, one thing that just struck me was that the ad you just had on about the importance of having getting married and having children. I've seen these ads lately where you sort of have this obligation to combat climate change by not having children. And the only right. people that listen to that are middle-class, well-educated white people, exactly the kind of people that you want to have children, you want to get married, and are decreasing. They're just not doing as much. And it's a disaster. You see these ads all the time, really trying to get, and whenever they do it, they show white baby in there. You know, you shouldn't have those white babies, basically, is what they're saying. It's unreal. I mean,
they're certainly not directing that at the Haitians who are subsidized. It's like somebody said recently, it's always the Americans right. coming down there with the groceries every time there's a natural disaster or yeah. something that happens where they can't get out of their own way. But they're not the ones that shouldn't be having more babies. Obviously, it's our people and only our people that's directed at.
And those people coming over the border, they're going to have kids as soon as they can, because that's the ticket to welfare and everything else. So they want to have children. They want, and quite a few of them are pregnant, as I understand it. And of course, a lot of them have COVID and they're testing positive for that, but they let them over anyway, no restrictions. Meanwhile, they're firing everybody else. It's an insane situation. I mean, it's just...
That's a great observation. It's a great observation, Kevin. I mean, the hypocrisy, I mean, we've mentioned it, but it's truly staggering. This is supposed to be almost this respiratory illness is so serious it's become a civilization stopper. But hey, you know, don't look at the border. Hey, you guys can come on in untested, unclean, unhealthy, and they just come on over, get a little ivermectin, and off they go to the welfare rolls.
I'd be surprised if they give them ivermectin. I mean, that's one of those drugs that you're just not supposed to think about. Segment on Joe Rogan I saw on Twitter where
yes.
he was talking with this Dr. Gupta and saying, you know, CNN just lied about it. They kept going with this myth, this ridiculous falsehood that ivermectin was something you give to horses for deworming, and that's it. It's just crazy. It's obviously it's a drug for humans mostly. You know, it's been used for anti-parasitic reasons, and it's been shown to have antiviral properties. And I tell you, this is just amazing how the media lies about this kind of stuff.
Well, and then you mentioned the Rogan and the so-called doctor. Well, of course, the physician, the medical scientist who actually invented the mRNA technology that they're using for these vaccines is trying to pump the brakes on all this. He's not on board with the program. But yeah, it is just, it's just so amazing. You've got countries with very lax restrictions. Not everybody's dropping dead. The places that are so heavily policed on this are still having outbreaks amongst the vaccinated, by the way. It's just, look, there's no consensus on it.
Yeah.
My advice has always been, do what you feel is in the best interest of you and your family. You make your own medical decision. But anytime.
Right. Again, I don't push anything.
We haven't covered this extensively. But I just say, you know, if the government, the media is screaming at me with one voice, to the point of threats that I must do something, well, my knee-jerk reaction, my default position is going to be to do the exact opposite. I think any right-thinking person would understand that the system has not really advocated for anything in our interest, well, in my lifetime. So I don't know if they are doing it now, it's the first time.
That's right. That's right. It's speaking with one voice. And really going after the centers and scrubbing them from social media. And you really, you know, this is part of our whole new censorship regime where ideas they don't like are they just get rid of them as best they can. And social media companies have been more than willing. I know YouTube's taken down not only all my videos, but they're taking down anything that is a dissident voice on COVID or pretty much anything now. So
Facebook
to the 1980s, you know.
They're trying, but you know,
go ahead.
No, of course, yeah, they'd want to go back to where there was no platform to be deplatformed from. Of course, they would like that.
Right.
I saw where Facebook released this blacklist of dangerous individuals and organizations. It reads like my Christmas card list every year. It's like all my buddies are on there. Also so many organizations that dubious evidence that they even exist. But of course, the true hate groups like the ADL and the SPLC, the Anti-White Defamation League, they're not on there. But anyway, you know, speaking of all that, though, Kevin, not to shift gears too radically, but... I wouldn't ask you to look to consult your oracle or look into your crystal ball because nobody can make a prediction on exactly how this is going to play out. But I'll tell you one thing that I'm very interested in seeing, and God, I hope it turns out okay for him. But, you know, the Charlottesville civil trials begin in a couple of weeks. Do you have any thoughts or comments on that and what those people are facing and the fact that such a lawsuit could even make it to the court? You got Robbie Kaplan, who successfully argued for homosexual marriage before the Supreme Court as the attorney for the plaintiffs in this. And, of course, our ragtag group of heroes going up there with the best they've got. This is, you know, again, I feel for them. My heart breaks for them. They shouldn't be there. It's a totally ridiculous lawsuit, but they had the permit. They had every right to be there. People forget. But anyway, Kevin, do you have anything to say about that?
They did indeed have every right to be there. The police sort of forced them into contact with the Antifa, and then all the blame goes on people on the right. It's a gross miscarriage of justice to have them even be being tried. This Kaplan woman is just this typical Jewish activist lawyer. This is lawfare. They want to bankrupt you. They want to make you spend money on lawyers. They want to, of course, they want to put you in jail. They want to take all your assets. I mean, a lot of these people are being sued for $1 million, probably more money than they have. And, it's just an attempt to stifle the right. And I wouldn't be surprised if it succeeds, despite the fact that the facts are going to be on the side of these guys. There's so many cases. Glenn Allen is the head of the Free Expression Foundation, and he has gone to bat for a number of people who've been victimized by the legal system. Just outrageous interpretations of the law, but it's hard to go up against because the legal system is not your friend. And people told me I should sue various things back when I was teaching, and they were harassing me so much. But you really can't beat this system. I mean. So I worry about it. Injustice.
We're going to keep Kevin for just a couple of more minutes on the flip side. We're going to let him fly and then get Keith on to close the show tonight. And this is our third and final hour. One more segment with Kevin McDonald coming up. So stay tuned and don't forget theoccidentalobserver.net, TOQonline.com. The fall issue is about to be shipped. Subscribe today if you're not already.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
To try and address supply chain issues around the country, President Biden announced Wednesday that the Port of Los Angeles will be operating around the clock. One of the impacted industries is the toy industry, which is concerning to Toy Association President Steve Passerb, who shares with Newsmax where the most impact is being felt across the country.
This is a pretty significant problem, particularly for the medium-sized and small-sized toy companies. America's got over 900 different toy companies. It's those medium and small companies that are really struggling, both getting onto ships to get here and also the enormous increase in prices that the shipping companies are charging, upwards of 800-900% over last year.
A new Gallup poll found that 52% of Americans believe the government is intruding too much in individuals' and businesses' lives. USA Radio News.
If you're tired of big cable bills and want to cut the cord, you can still get Newsmax TV for free. Millions of Americans like you are watching Newsmax. It's available on all major cable systems, or get it free on major streaming platforms. Watch Newsmax on smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and more. Find Newsmax on your hub guide or use the TV app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, TiVo, Apple TV, Chromecast, and more. More than 7 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax app on their smartphones. There's no paywall or subscription, so watch Newsmax anytime, anywhere. Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. And watch great shows with Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Rob Schmidt, Diamond and Silk, Stinchfield, and a lot more. Find out why America is tuning in to Newsmax TV, the fastest growing cable news channel. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
About 10,000 members of the United Auto Workers Union are now on strike against John Deere. Employees went on strike this morning after the union rejected a wage deal with the farm equipment company. 2 weeks ago, the union had reached a tentative agreement with John Deere on a new 6-year contract. On Sunday, the deal was rejected by 90% of union workers. The strike shuts down operations at 11 John Deere factories in Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, and at distribution centers in Georgia and Colorado. Butterball is recalling ground turkey products due to possible foreign matter contamination. The company said they were recalling over 14,000 pounds of ground turkey that may be contaminated with extraneous materials, including blue plastic. 2.5-pound trays of farm-to-family Butterball all-natural ground turkey and 3-pound trays of Kroger ground turkey are the exact items being recalled. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, to revisit a familiar topic with the esteemed Dr. McDonald, and this was a topic that we mentioned with Jared as well in the previous hour, And it stems from the conversation we were having right before the last break with regards to the Charlottesville trials, these civil trials, this lawfare. By the way, we've been talking about it the last couple of weeks, so I'll mention it again tonight. The new book that has just come out, the only book of its time that looks at the events of that day, August of 2017 at the Unite the Right rally, from a fact-based and entirely evidence-based perspective. It's written by Ann Wilson Smith, and the title is Charlottesville Untold, Inside Unite the Right. Our work here at TPC was cited, I think, about 47 times in the book, throughout the book. But she really gets to the facts, including facts that I didn't know, even in all the coverage we've done and being able to talk to the principal actors in this of that day over the course of the last 5 years and even in advance of the rally itself, which was, again, a completely permitted rally. The organizer, Jason Kessler, got a permit. He had every right to peaceably assemble at a public park, no less, in an American city, to honor a great American, Robert E. Lee. There was violence that day, and it was all visited upon the participants, or at least instigated originally by Antifa against the permitted rallygoers, and of course aided and abetted by the complete breakdown, a purposeful breakdown of law enforcement and government there in Virginia as a state and in Charlottesville as a city. But Roger Devlin, who is also a contributor to Kevin McDonald's publications at TOO and TOQ, has written a review for Amran of this book, which is up right now. I think it's their top story right now. So again, we see this, Kevin. We know what's happening. It is unjust. But the question that I posed to Jared that I'll now pose to you, we also see simultaneously that people, particularly I think over the last 5 years, certainly more so than any other time in my adult life, any other time in my life at all, certainly in my career as an activist, I think people are beginning to come to, as Jared puts it, racial conservatism, and they're beginning to see race in ways that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I mean, you certainly would have never heard the biggest talker in cable news, Tucker Carlson, speaking to the ADL with such vitriol as he has. I think things are changing, and I think in a way perhaps this totalitarianism that we're facing is waking whites up in a way that we never could. I think the system is doing a better job of rallying our people than we ever have.
As you say, totalitarianism is looming on the horizon. I'm just reading, and I'm actually in the process of writing a review of a book by Spencer Quinn called Solzhenitsyn and the Right. And the parallels with today are just striking, and he emphasizes them. Well, one of them is that you have this double standard of justice where these left-wing rioters are, approved by the system. They attack the police with no real consequences. And we've seen that here in America. The Antifa go completely scot-free. I mean, how many riots have there been in Seattle, in Portland, and around the country, really, where these leftists have been let off completely, slap on the wrist? And he also points out at the time that the media, which was very Jewish-controlled, as there's a huge Jewish influence here now. It's completely on the side of anarchy, socialism, and all of these revolutionary things. It was just an amazing situation. And, you know, the obvious writing on the wall here is these people have no compunctions. Their ultimate endgame includes violence and, you know, gulags, mass executions and the whole thing. You know, and you shouldn't just rule that out. That can happen again. These people are bloodthirsty. And, you know, they have the system on their side. I mean, right now they got the big corporations. They got the media. They have huge, really the entire academic world. You can't get a voice in there in the academic world anymore. Professors are getting censored like everybody else and fired if they don't have tenure. So this is where we're at now. This incredible pall of censorship, authoritarianism in all areas, but a huge double standard of justice where people on the left just get off. You can see that now with the, you know, with the January 6th. You know, there's some guy was who's been in prison all that time since January, I guess, or around there. They have not given him an operation that he needs. And people are in solitary confinement. They have not been to trial. They're not given bail. It's just incredible. And whereas these leftists who do way worse, are routinely just, you know, just get off scot-free. No bail. I mean, which reminds me, you know, they have these no bail laws now in places like California and New York. And they having to close all these stores because of all this looting going on. You know, if you don't have bail and if you have this $900 limit on what you can prosecute, what do you think is going to happen here? Huge rise of crime.
Well, okay, I saw that too. You know, with the Walgreens, it was the story I think you're referencing is in the San Francisco area. All the Walgreens are closing now because of all the looting, and there's no punishment for these people. But I think what we have now here with this so-called progressivism, and it's progressive in one sense, it makes things get progressively worse. But you've got you've got this stage five end of life cancer now that is just spreading unchecked, and it's consuming everything, and it's going to draw things to a head because as people see these absurd manifestations of progressivism, as you just mentioned another example just there, it's proving, though, that the censorship hasn't worked. There is a tone now, I think, of desperation, even amongst our elite, which is really the mainstream has shrunk down to this tiny class of people. And so many people, you've got tens of millions now, Kevin, that are increasingly becoming right in line with us on these most sensitive and so-called taboo topics of race and realism and all of these things. And I don't know where it goes. I don't know where it's going or how it's going to play out. But I say there's a chance. I mean, conservatives are going to have to do better. I mean, we heard an ad just a moment ago, Newsmax, you know, featuring Diamond and Silk and these school board people who combat critical race theory by saying, you know, we want to be more like Martin Luther King. These are conservatives citing King as if he was one of their heroes, as he was some sort of conservative that would have been standing against critical race theory, which is just laughable. And so conservative incorporated, the gatekeepers of conservatism are going to have to either be removed or get with the program. But the people who actually make up their audiences, I think, are increasingly moving to our side. And, of course, they've got a voice. And he's not the full McDonald or the full Taylor. But you know, I like a lot of what I hear from Tucker Carlson. So I don't know. We're seeing things now that just weren't there 5 years ago. And it'll be interesting to see as things further devolve and fall apart. Where we're at 5 years from now, we could all be in jail, or we could really be a part of a movement that is competitive again. I don't know, and maybe we'll have to go to jail before it gets competitive again. Maybe it will get worse. I don't know. We say this all the time. I don't know, but I think things are changing, and I think they're going to change enough quickly enough to where push is going to come to shove, and something's going to happen within the next few years. I just don't think you can continue in this trajectory into the indefinite future without something big happening, a big catalyst. I don't know what that looks like, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm always hopeful, and I think that, you know, what you're saying is absolutely correct. Some things are definitely going our way, but you know, at the other hand, we have to realize what's we are up against, and it's really the entire corporate political media academic establishment, and that's a big hurdle to to climb over, and especially when you have censorship and fixing elections. You gotta worry about that. I mean, you just find this big report that Mark Zuckerberg is becoming more like, you know, George Soros every day. You know, $419 million into the last election. And it definitely favored Democrats and the left. So here's another huge Jewish player now in American politics. And, you know, that's where the money is. And politics, that's why it's so hard to change Conservatism Incorporated, because the money is for Conservative Incorporated and you know, spawning Martin Luther King and all that. And that's where the money is. And they got the money. It's just, you know, we're begging for nickels and dimes compared to these guys. It's just pathetic.
Well, that's right. It's true. I mean, they're a formidable adversary, but and it's amazing how much power they've been able to accumulate just in the last 50 years. That just wasn't there 100 years ago like it is. But we've got truth, reason, and common sense. We've got actual hard science and data. We've got all the things you would need. They've been able to do it with smoke and mirrors. We'll see. They've been able to do it because we've become an apathetic end. Late civilization population, but hey, we'll see where it goes, and if we win, it's going to be because of people like Kevin McDonald. TOQonline.com. Subscribe to the print journal. Thank you, Kevin. We'll talk to you again soon.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I really don't want to talk about this, but I will. I'm just so mad. I didn't get asked to the junior prom, and it's raining, which means by the time I get to school, I'm soaking wet. Dad picked me up just after I left, and I was so mad I got out, and he said, "Wait, your mom said to give you this." I forgot my lunch money, and then I dropped it in the water, and I was late for history, and so at lunchtime, I had to find something on John Stuart Mill, which, of course, our library didn't have, so I had to walk all the way down to the office to call my mom, and she found something on the internet and called me back. And Karen, she wouldn't even help me, and that's a whole nother story. But Dad helped me conjugate nouns or whatever on the way to the swim team workout. And then he read my history paper while I was in the pool. And of course, I forgot the bibliography. So I had to do that with my mother when I got home. And it made me totally forget that I put my jeans in the washer that morning. And I hate it when they sit wet like that all day and smell like mildew. But my mom said she put them in the dryer while I was at the swim team. And, you know, I'm just not going to go to the prom, no matter who asks me. I just want to stay home with my mom and dad.
Family.
And just hang out.
Isn't it about time?
Unless Dustin asks me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, as promised, a segment late, but not a dollar short, because we don't have a dollar. No, we do thanks to you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you again, everyone, for keeping us on the air all these years as we head into another anniversary celebration next week. We're actually going to have a couple of weeks now of festive shows. Really, the whole last quarter of our broadcasting calendar every year is quite festive with the anniversary show, then we've got the Halloween show, a little lull in November, and then in December it's just, you know, the great Christmas music and just a little more excitable. I don't know, everybody's just in a good mood at Christmas time, and then we do it all over again, and then we do it all over again with a new year, and the calendar begins anew. The Valentine's show, March around the world, and Confederate History Month, and you know our regular calendar. Well, a mainstay of it all is Keith Alexander, who has been here for so long, adds so much to the broadcast, and he is closing it out for us tonight. So, Keith, a final word to you. It has been a busy show. It's been a good show. Look forward to being back with you in person next week. But, take us to the house tonight, buddy. What do you got?
Well, another Occidental Descent article from this week by Brad Griffin, called National Review, Meritocracy, Does It Exist? Basically, what he's critiquing is an article by the infamous Kevin Williamson, the guy that said that the people in the oil patch are just a bunch of dumb white people, so they deserve not to make good money. He wrote an article on October the 13th, earlier this week, called What If There Is No Meritocracy? Well, he's trying to argue in this that basically the people that rule over us, the 1% or less than 1% of people that we consider to be the elites, people like Elon Musk, people like Mark Zuckerberg, people like this, are just smarter than us, and they're the beneficiaries of meritocracy, and that really meritocracy isn't a good way to determine who should be in charge. Well, the fact that he's against it means that we need to be seriously considering being for it. Meritocracy is what we were promised in the debates leading up to the passage of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. They said, what's going to replace racial segregation or preferences? And they said, we'll have meritocracy. Well, we didn't have meritocracy for long. By 1969, Alfred Bloomrosen, who was the number two man at the EEOC, and the EEOC was the federal agency created to enforce the 64 Civil Rights Act, said that their primary enforcement mechanism to make sure that the 64 Civil Rights Act was being followed would be affirmative action. And of course, affirmative action violates the exact language of the 64 Civil Rights Act, which said that there will be no racial discrimination, period. Didn't say there would be no white on black racial discrimination. It said no racial discrimination, and affirmative action is discrimination against white people. If we had meritocracy, if we, for example, enforced meritocracy on the admissions departments of all select colleges, universities, and professional schools, that would be ideal. Because I remember during that debate period running up to the 64 Civil Rights Act passage, the people in the white community said, well, if we have meritocracy, we'll be fine. Yeah, we can go with that. And that basically blunted a lot of the opposition to the 64 Civil Rights Act. And we would do great. You know, there are people that say, well, Jewish people are smarter, Asian people are smarter. But guess what? Ron Unz, who's Jewish himself of the Unz Review, did an article several years ago where he charted the intelligence and the ethnicity and race of people that won National Merit Scholarship tests. And guess what? Well, over half of them were whites and, you know, a large number of white males. So why don't we just say Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford, University of Chicago, you've now got to use strict meritocracy and just let the smartest people in, based on their combined scores. If they did that, white people would do just fine. Right now, we are being discriminated against. Now, other minorities that score highly, like Asians, are not being discriminated against to the extent that we are. But that National Merit Scholarship finding by Ron Unz is really key. This is what we need. We need meritocracy. if there were meritocracy, there would probably be five black people every year that could get into, let's say, Harvard Law School, or less than that. And of course, that would not be acceptable to our elites. And we as white people, white Gentiles, are tired of footing the bill for all this, and we've been doing it since 1970. So, you know, this is no modern thing.
I got to take the bait here. You're not expecting this, so I don't want people to think this is a setup. But I got to ask you, since you're on the topic, because you haven't mentioned it in a couple of weeks, your SAT score in Vanderbilt, you got to tell that story again.
Okay, well, I was in the first wave of victims of affirmative action because I came from a working class background. My father was an electrician, and no prior generation had gone to college, even though my father found out when he was in the Army that he had an IQ of 130. So this was our opportunity. This was like the Jeffersons, you know, we got a chance to, you know, take a bat and take a swing, and, you know, this is our chance, you know, to move up the societal ladder. Well,
like a Memphis, Sherman Hemsley and the Jeffersons.
Right, exactly. You know, moving on up through the east side, you know, remember that? Well, that's what my family was in a position to do, and we had the rug yanked out from under us, just as I graduated from high school, 69, like I said, is when Alfred Blumrosen and the EEOC, and Alfred Blumrosen is, of course, Jewish, okay, made affirmative action the official policy for enforcing the 64 Civil Rights Act by the EEOC. So when I was coming up, Vanderbilt Law School was the gold standard for being in what they call a white shoe or a silk stocking law firm in Memphis. If you didn't go there, basically, you came up to the plate with two strikes against you, or you didn't get hired at all. But I made a 170 out of a potential 180 on the SAT, and I had a 3.64 grade point average out of 4.0. Well, a lot of people suspect they were victims of affirmative action, but I knew that I was. And the way that I knew that I was is I had a work-study job at the college registrar's office where I went to college. And my job was, if anybody applied to professional school, graduate school, or wanted to transfer to another school, I would get out their transcript, make sure everything was in order, put the official stamp on it, and send it along with the application. So I had access to everybody's course of studies, their grade point average, their standardized test scores. Well, I noticed when I was a senior that another senior who was a black male was applying to Vanderbilt Law School too. I had much higher LSAT scores. He was under 150. I had a much higher grade point average. But guess what? Guess who got admitted to Vanderbilt in 1973? Vanderbilt Law School, and who didn't even get put on the waiting list? Yours truly.
Now, what so see, was
this
the determining
stuff has been
factor?
Going on a long time.
What was the determining factor in that decision? I mean, what could
well,
it
had to be
been?
Race. It had to be race. It had to be affirmative action. Apparently, the elites had decided they were going to steamroll the prospects of white people that weren't socially prominent or weren't part of the elite to get to where they were. Now, the elites that are in now are not getting in on the basis of merit, despite what Kevin Williamson may be trying to suggest. And the perfect proof of that is this Operation Varsity Blues that hit the headlines back in March and February of 2019. I remember.
And we had Los Angeles attorney Bill Johnson, our good friend, on to talk about that and help us break it down, because I think some of that involved USC out there, of course, he's familiar.
Well, Lori Loughlin and Felicity, two movie stars, and they were featured because everybody could recognize the names. But basically, these elite people have secret ways they're not sharing with the rest of us as to how to get their kids into Harvard, Yale, and Stanford and places like that. What they do is they'll Photoshop their head on a picture of somebody on a rowing team, for example, and let's say Harvard has a rowing team. Well, they'll get their child in under lesser standards saying that they're going to be on the rowing team. And guess what? They're not on the rowing team. And they've never rowed, but see, they do things like that. They also, you know, for example, Lori Loughlin, I think it was, or Felicity Huffman, got her child extra time to take the SAT. Well, that's, you can do like the TUIs did for Michael Orr in The Blind Side. You can go to a friendly psychiatrist or psychologist, get your child designated to be ADD or ADHD, and then they automatically get extra time to take the exam. And those times are very, you know, time's a very big factor in how well you do on it. So all of that stuff, you know, they're cheating. I knew a guy that did that back in my day. His father was a guy from Skull and Bones, and he got
Keith,
his son into
we're out of time. I don't know if you could hear on the phone, but the music is playing. But we will continue this. As always, the show must go on, and it will next week. Fun anniversary broadcast next week, and you're not going to want to miss that. For Keith Alexander, all of our great guests tonight, Jack Ryan, our production crew, and staff and producers and everybody that makes this show go, but none more than you, ladies and gentlemen, in our listening audience. Thank you. God bless you. Godspeed to you until we meet again next week. TPC's birthday party on air. We'll bring the cake. Good night.